In this month's exclusive cover story, LMD discusses what investors crave of our system of government and the prospects for the tea industry, with Rohan Pethiyagudu, the immediate past chairman of the Sri Lanka Tea Board. Here's an extract from the story. Calm amidst the storm. Rohan Pethiyagudu believes that the nation is at the crossroads and it will be hard to avoid paralysis. Widely known for being a straight shooter, Rohan Pethiyagudu never fails to speak out against poor governance and social injustice, and his courage of conviction has seen him carve out a unique professional career. A taxonomist, biodiversity explorer, conservationist, and winner of the prestigious Rolex Award for Enterprise, he was until recently the chairman of the Sri Lanka Tea Board and provided ballast to an industry beset by policy dilemmas. I am being outspoken and possibly suicidal, but I have tried for 1.5 years and not succeeded, and I know many other heads of institutions are in the same situation. We just cannot cut through the red tape, he lamented not long ago when Ceylon Tea celebrated its 150th anniversary in August last year. And he added, I ask you to put pressure on them because a lot of you are closer to politicians. It comes as no surprise, therefore, that Sri Lanka's state machinery lost the expert services of another highly qualified and clean professional because it continues to pay lip service to what ails this precious land. In this no-holds-barred interview, Pethiyagudu speaks candidly about the state of the nation and its tea industry, a rare peak for readers, therefore, into what makes him tick. While singling out regulatory measures and policy initiatives that have served only to derail progress in the tea industry and the broad economy, he also asserts that the citizenry has a larger role to play in ensuring development. Moreover, Pethiyagudu points to his many misgivings regarding the state sector and endorses the view that government should play the role of regulator and facilitator, while profit-seeking business and industry is best left in the hands of the private sector. Indeed, Sri Lanka finds itself in a state of limbo at this juncture. LMD asked him to rate the recent performance of the national economy and about his forecast for the medium term. And he said,
I rate it a B-. On the one hand, the present government is struggling under the enormous burden of debt it inherited from the previous administration. On the other, the government's business-as-usual approach to governance has been disappointing. We have not seen the sweeping reforms that were promised. As a result, even against the basket of Asian economies, Sri Lanka is now significantly worse off in relative terms than it was at the time of gaining independence. Our economy is still weighed down by state-owned enterprises, or SOEs. We have a national airline that is hundreds of billions of rupees in debt and dozens of loss-making SOEs that need to be divested. Even the armed forces are operating hotels. Why? The state's job is to create a playing field and regulate it, not to compete with and undercut the private sector. Worse still, the government's honeymoon is over and we are looking at a period of political instability due to a highly empowered opposition straining at the leash. Unfortunately, this will lead to the government opting for low-risk political strategies. It's going to be hard to avoid paralysis. But it's not just the government that is to blame. We the people have hardly set a shining example. The response of sections of the media, unions and university students to the freedoms they won on the 8th of January 2015 has hardly been impressive. They are simply inviting a totalitarian government, which is what I suspect they'll get the next time around. Such indiscipline is suggestive of a society that lacks the will to succeed. We seem to eternally want to be victims and losers and do not strive to be exceptional.
We also inquired about the burning issues facing the nation today, and he replied,
I'd principally flag the loss-making SOEs and the issue of land titles. We harp on landlessness, but then the state hogs most of the land. The value of unutilized land and encroached state-owned real estate probably runs into the trillions of rupees. These idle assets should be mobilized or sold to corporates or individuals who will put them to use. Perhaps most egregious of all, however, are the whimsical policy shifts the government has made regarding the Colombo International Financial City, CIFC or Port City, weed sites, asbestos, plastics, tea imports and the like. These policies have nearly wrecked the concerned industries and sent terrible signals to potential investors.
And is Sri Lanka an attractive investment center? And which sectors of the economy are ripe for investment? Pethiagud explained,
as much as the state has failed dismally in several sectors, such as the plantations, economy, housing and transportation, other sectors are relative to our economic standing among the best in the world. I would single out healthcare, education, apparel, telecommunication and agriculture for particular praise. They have been transformative and possess fantastic human capital which can attract more investment. But the main factor investors really crave is stability, and that is something our system of government simply doesn't offer.
We also asked Pethiagud which global trends are likely to impact Sri Lanka, to which he responded,
disappointingly, we are still lagging behind the IT wave. E-commerce is still in its infancy. We need to begin teaching coding, JavaScript, to our teenagers. Today's economic powerhouses of the world are built on services, not production industries. The small size of our domestic market makes industrial production additionally challenging. But given our educational advantage, maybe we could, with a little imagination, number among the few countries to leapfrog directly from an agrarian economy to a service economy, bypassing industrialization.
And finally, a lack of innovation has continued to undermine the tea industry. Is this likely to change? Pethiagud notes the following.
I disagree. We see many local companies, whether giants or startups, taking clever tea ideas to the world. Perhaps e-commerce needs to penetrate the industry further to cater to consumers' desire for instant gratification. For this, fulfillment and warehousing operations in major markets will be mandatory. I have been nudging exporters in that direction, even offering funding from the Sri Lanka Tea Board. However, the response has been underwhelming.
Rohan Pethiagud also shared his views on the core issues plaguing plantation workers and how the withdrawal of fertilizers and the ban on weedicide have affected the tea industry. He discussed the prospects for our tea to expand its presence in China, the future of tea exports to Russia, and how Sri Lanka can cater to the Iranian market for tea. In addition, Pethiagud elaborated on the next goal for Sri Lanka's tea industry, the debate over the proposed liberalization of tea imports and the delay in launching the Global Ceylon Tea Campaign by the Sri Lanka Tea Board. And he outlined the major tea trends to watch out for. Read the full story on LMD online at www.lmd.lk or in LMD's April magazine that's in stores now.
LMD, the voice of business and living, a celebration of life, offers you a chance to stay in the lap of luxury. Get a lifetime subscription to LMD All Living and we will reward you with an overnight stay with one of our partner hotels. Call Rohan on 2599600 for more details.